Beloved people, the main thing from the bulletin today that I bring to your attention is the point concerning the schedule of masses for Christmas. There is another point in the bulletin which shouldn't have been in this week's bulletin, but rather in next week's bulletin, and that is concerning the O antiphons. You will hear about it next Sunday. Don't just disregard that one altogether. For the rest, all is the same. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, this morning, I wish to tell you something. I go back, first of all, in the process of telling it to you, I go back into the ages of the church. In the ages of great faith in the church, generations and generations ago. And during those times, occasionally, you witnessed a phenomenon which was indeed something of very, very great value and great spiritual consolation to all around. It was not common. It did not happen every day. But in the ages of faith, you would find couples, husband and wife, who, after having reared their children, or perhaps didn't have any children, but after having been relieved of all of their responsibilities, would by mutual consent, by the grace of God, go to a higher form of life. The spiritual life, the religious life. And the husband and the wife promising constant and perpetual celibacy to each other, one would go to a convent and one would go to a monastery. Each one consecrating, dedicating life to Almighty God in the spiritual world. This was indeed a great blessing. And when I was growing up years and years and years ago, this was talked about by the sisters as being the ultimate blessing that could come to a couple in life. In ages past, it was certainly difficult enough, though it was beautiful and accepted. In the ages of faith. In an age today where faith has simply seems to have gone with the wind, this is a phenomenon that is unthinkable. But by the grace of God, in our midst, we have just such a couple. And one is going to the monastery, and one is going to the convent. And we look upon this as a tremendous blessing. However, I do ask you, since it is a giant step, to say the least, I ask you for your special, special prayers for them. And I ask you for your very special prayers for us. As we struggle through this modern catastrophe, and we do our best to do what is right. We do not argue in defense of what we prefer. We argue only in defense of the truth or of truth. So today, I bring to you this thing. I wanted it to come out of, directly from me before it would begin to move about and be distorted by those who do not know of this phenomenon, who've never heard of this phenomenon. And for those who simply have a difficulty with it, simply in charity tell them, go get your history books, your church history books, and you will find this in there from time to time. So, we live in an age where faith is a weakness. I'm having difficulty getting my thoughts together after that, and I'm kind of lost in what to say. And for me to be lost in what to say is no small thing. But at any rate, we must go as we proceed now to go into our holy Catholic religion. We have over the past several weeks, several months as a matter of fact, spoken in terms of Catholic experience. Catholic experience today is something that isn't known through nobody's fault. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing that has happened to us. It has been erased. It has been washed, and it is being brought to us by those who themselves are inexperienced and who cannot give it exactly as it once was. Youth is teaching youth. You might say that you're looking at youthful people sitting in front of you. That's true. But by the grace of God, these young folks, these young men, young women, have got someone to link them to what has been directly, unbroken chain. And so by the grace of God, that these men, these women can go forth. You might say, well, there's only just so many of you. That's true. We have here only the ones that Almighty God has picked hither and yon and brought them here. None of these have been pulled into the place. I knew none of them before the date of their arrival. And so here they are. And together, we try to maintain that tradition which is powerful, we hope, in the sight of God. We have been criticized. We have been told that you people are too peaceful. You people are too peaceable. That you should be shouting from the housetops, telling everybody that they're going to hell. In the ages that have gone by, even the tiniest community of holy women, I speak of the women more so than of the men, even the tiniest community of holy women united in prayer have brought about the conversion, the establishment of a large group of people. These communities were not large. Today, the first thing people ask when they see you, well, Father, good. Or how many new ones have you got? We count today. We look at achievement today. Yes, we too are infected with the virus of achievement. But we take it, we must take it, all of us, as God wants it. One voice in prayer to God in the wilderness. Is infinitely more powerful than all the argument that can be presented to anybody. If a person has it in his mind not to listen, there is no argument that can subdue him, or that will subdue him. If he does in any way at all condescend, it is entirely on the intellectual level. Because he sees that your argument is better than his argument, as strictly on the intellectual plane, and unfortunately means nothing. We think it does, simply because so-and-so agrees. The only place that conversion takes place is in the heart of man. In the heart, not the mind. In the heart is dedication. In the heart is love. In the heart is generosity. We have heard it is not in this exterior business that makes me a saint, if such hopefully is the case. It is not in the exterior business where it matters only, not mostly, but only is what is in my heart. As I am in my heart, so am I. Today we busy ourselves. We look for things to do that will somehow enhance our Catholicism. And many today, many today feel, so long as, if I'm to be a Catholic, all that I have to do to be a Catholic is to go to Mass on Sunday, say the rosary, don't eat meat on Friday, and such like. My beloved people, no. 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 Those things are certainly, don't misunderstand me. I have to be careful because, as you know, everything I say is on tape, in case anybody wants to question the situation. Don't misunderstand me. Mass, rosary, Friday, whatever. No, no, no. The important thing is not what I do, but what I am. I'll give you an example of how we look to things to do. As I think I said the last time we talked, that we look for passports into heaven. There are no passports into heaven. Only yesterday, a young person, a boy, a man, young man, don't know who he was, called from I don't know where. And he wanted to be a good Catholic. And he wanted to do the things that good Catholics do. And he wanted to know if we sold hair shirts. Because good Catholics wear hair shirts. I don't suppose any of you are good Catholics then. Because I don't think any of you wear hair shirts. Neither do we. Do you know what a hair shirt is? I've seen it once in my life, in passing, one time only, a hair shirt. I really wanted to know what one looked like. And this individual was wearing one. I said, I'd like to see it. And he took it off and he showed it to me, grubby. Hair shirts are usually made out of camel's hair, bristles. And they're laid, the bristles are all very closely interwoven with each other and laid out. And then the machine, sewing machine, goes over and over and over and over so that the bristles become stationary. It's like a vest. You wear it as a vest would wear. And you put it next to your flesh. Those who I've talked to some said it can make you sick physically. It is excruciating. You break out in welts and bumps and sores and abrasions and everything you think of. My dear people, that's not where it is. And when I told this young man that's not where it is, he laughed. As I tell everyone, and who asks, well, do you monks wear hair shirts? And I tell them, or we tell them, no, we don't. Well, then why don't you wear hair shirts? Well, the main reason is that we are hair shirt unto each other. The difference is the person who wears a hair shirt, for the example that we're on, that person has determined, has set out, has premeditated with free will, free intellect, nobody telling him, made the decision, I want to wear this hair shirt. It is my doing. It is my desire, and I want to wear the hair shirt. The hair shirt goes on to the masses, to the rosaries, to the special devotions, to fasts, to whatever, 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 whatever you can think of. But let's stick to the hair shirts. I am the one who made this determination. God didn't do it. I did it. But when I come across my brother, and without the slightest warning, without the slightest foresight, without the slightest indication, without anything, out of the clear blue sky, my brother rubs me the long way, the wrong way. And I do not lash back. Accept it quietly. That's hair shirt. And it takes 100 times more energy and 1,000 times more determination and thousands upon thousands of times more humility to put up with that than me reaching in a closet and getting something off the hanger and putting it on. There is no virtue in this. This is what we speak of being. This is what we talk about when we speak of being a Catholic. Catholics do things in the normal, ordinary way. We are, as you know, talking a great deal about Nazareth. I do not want anybody to think that we're making Nazareth or turning Nazareth into another cause. No, not indeed. Not next Sunday, but probably the Sunday after, or the Sunday of Christmas, whenever. We will distribute to you a little prayer card that has a picture of the Holy Family in the house of Nazareth. There are a couple of little mistakes in that picture, but they're unimportant mistakes. I want you to take that picture and study it, because what's in that picture and in the prayer that's on the other side, that's where the answer is. We must return to Nazareth. And as I've said before, the Nazareth house is built, or was built, at the foot of the tree that grows in the center of the garden. That's where it is, my beloved people. Mary is sitting over there and making thread to weave something. St. Joseph is over here puttering around the little shop in the room there. The table is set with a little flower on it and ready for supper. And our blessed Lord is right there helping St. Joseph in the carpenter section of the room. Everybody quietly at peace, living. Pay attention to this, living the divine way of life on earth. Nothing else matters. Nothing. And for all of my achievements, be there if I have moved mountains, if I have conquered armies, no matter what I have done, none of these things are what is required or are required of me to achieve. The simple fact that I have struggled to love my God in the way that he wants to be loved by me. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. My great achievements will go to the grave together with me and will be forgotten. Look throughout the pages, we spoke of history a moment ago and I will quit. Look throughout the pages of history. Oh, occasionally you'll stumble across this one or that one, whose achievements were that kind of noteworthy. But these powerful, powerful men who put other men to death because they disagreed, do we even recall the names of these great folks. But the little men that they stepped on and killed and murdered and martyred and persecuted and made life miserable for them, their names, some of them are even, they're in that little room, some of them. Who did it? Who made them martyrs? I don't really know. They are the ones that are the important ones. So pray, we pray for you. We pray for you every day. We pray for those you love most every day. And we pray that coming Christmas, that this particular Christmas above all others, will be something of the greatest beauty in your lives, in our lives. And if we have a proper vision of the vision, then the Christmas decorations, the Christmas preparations, the Christmas things that we do will be kept in proper focus. This is what we pray, that you will have a Christmas that will be most beautiful. Something to look back on with joy and peace of mind. And pray, and we do too, pray for your children. Pray for your little children. Pray for your big children. And we all pray together that somehow the grace of God, through our intercession, will come to touch each and every one of them. That's all we can do. So let's do it. Never be afraid, but leave it in the hands of God.